being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. I want to preach this morning for just a few minutes on closing the gap. Because if we need anything this morning, we need some mothers, some fathers, grandmas and grandpas, some aunts and uncles, sons and daughters, to close the gap. What do I mean by that? What do I mean by closing the gap? There is an absolute necessity that we find ourselves drawing nearer to our Savior. Because if we are not finding ourselves getting closer to Him every minute of every hour of every day, then we are going backwards as far as Christianity is concerned. And we need to find ourselves moving in the direction and saying, God, I want to be a God chaser, a God hunter, a God pursuer. God, I want to go after you with everything that is within me. John is telling him right here, he has got his two disciples here beside him, and they're just standing there watching the crowd. And all of a sudden, here he comes. Here comes the one that John has been preaching about the whole time. And John, with everything that is within him, looks out over the crowd. He looks at his disciples and he said, don't pay attention to anything else. He said, I got one thing for you to pay attention to, and it's him. And he says, behold the Lamb of God. He said, I don't want you looking anywhere else. I don't want you doing anything with anybody else. He said, this is where your attention needs to be. Now, I don't know if you know me this morning. I'm a retired state trooper. I did it for 20 years. Thank God for the lessons and the life lessons that I learned doing that. Some people say that now I'm pastoring. They say, well, now you don't have to worry about getting shot. I said, well, yeah, I do. It's just a different crowd now. But I was thinking about this message, and I was thinking about one of my last times down in Raleigh. While I was down there being a trooper, and we were in defensive tactics and trying to learn how to do some things, and the instructor there, who was a retired Navy SEAL, he came up and he looked out over the troopers and he said, guys, he said, I found out your problem. And he had the man standing up there and he said, you are trying to conduct business at a distance. Yes, sir. He said, you're way too far away. He said, what you need to be doing is getting as close as you possibly can to the one that you're trying to arrest. He said, when you get in close, he said, that's where business picks up. And he began to go through his lesson, and the whole time I'm sitting there thinking, God, God, would I be in that category of trying to conduct my life with you at a distance? God, am I in that category of trying to pull back, trying to stand away? Or, Lord, am I in that category of trying to run up and get as close? Y'all know the word scrooge around here. Y'all get as close as I possibly can and scrooge up next to him. And say, God, I want to be where you are. I want to be doing what you'd have me to do. Come up here a minute, son. This is one of my sons. I got about 24 kids. So if you bear with me, hurry, let's go, let's hustle. He's going into the 8th grade, ladies, and he's single. So he'll pay me afterwards. When he was talking about coming up, he was talking about us coming in and getting somebody arrested, talking about that. I was not thinking about arresting at all. I was thinking about God arresting me while he was going through every bit of this. And I'm still staying with my text. Don't run off with me yet. He is saying here, he told his disciples, looking upon Jesus. The phrase there literally means locked in. It means don't look at anything else. It means to have tunnel vision. And he called him out. He said, behold the Lamb of God. Tunnel vision that. He said, don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. He said, zero in on that. That defensive tactic instructor. He said, hey, he said, if you're conducting business back here, he said, you're going to fail every time. He said, what I need you to do is lock in on whoever it is you're trying to arrest. He said, don't pay attention to anything else out here. He said, lock in on him. He said, and now get in as close as you can. Close the gap. He said, get in as close as you possibly can. He said, because when you get in close, I loved it. He said, you begin to observe everything that there is to observe about that person. You begin to learn from head to toe what it is about that person. The disciples had heard, behold the Lamb. They had heard John preaching. But now,
They're getting to see Jesus in the flesh. They're getting to see the Messiah. They're getting to see that one. And John is saying, it's no longer about me. It never was about me. He said, it's about that one right there. He said, you need to get as close as you can to that one right there, because when you get in close, he said, you're going to learn everything there is to know about that one. Can I tell you here this morning, when we begin to draw in close to where he is, you'll learn about who he is. He'll begin to reveal himself to your soul, begin to open himself up to you, and you'll see him in a whole nother light. But then that DT instructor, he said, guys, he said, you'll learn everything there is to know about this man. He said, but, he said, it's not only about the observation. He said, but you're going to establish communication. He said, you'll begin to talk to this one like you can't talk to him from way back here. He said, you'll begin to, and I can't tell you how many times I've arrested somebody, maybe a drunk driver, and him be whispering, I shouldn't have done it. I shouldn't have been driving. I shouldn't have done that. And when I get up to testify in court, trooper, did he say anything? Well, yes, sir, your honor. As I was putting the handcuffs on him, he was saying, I shouldn't have been driving. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have made that mistake. And I get to testify to what I heard right here in this meeting. Is anybody hearing that? You get to testify to what you heard being said. They drew in close to Jesus. The disciples said, we're going to follow this one. We're going in behind this one. And what does the Bible say? Jesus turned around and he saw them following, and he looked at them and he said, what seek ye? He said, what is it that you're looking for? And they respond. I love their answer. They responded, Lord, it's not about what we're looking for. It's about who we're looking for. And you are it. We want to know where it is that you're staying, because we've got to learn everything there is about you. We don't want you to get out of our sight. We want to be in every step of the way. And when you begin to get that community, how many times has God ever come into your workplace? Has God ever come into the car when you're just driving down the road? Maybe not even thinking about him. Maybe not even thinking about what God has done for you and the grace that they just sang about. But all of a sudden, God will begin to pour in that communication. He'll begin to talk to you about, hey, you think you're having a bad day? Do you remember when I saved you and you bowed on your knees before a holy God and I lifted you out of the muck and the mire that you were in? Do you remember that? Do you remember how in the grace of God extracted you? And when God begins to establish that communication, then you can get around a crowd like this and you begin to testify about the communication that you've had with your Savior, all because you can slide in and get close to where he's at. But I love this. I'm trying to hurry. I love this. The DT instructor said, guys, has anybody heard the term jump and run? That means when I go to pull somebody over, he'd open his door, leave the car going about 5 miles an hour, he'd jump out and take off running. And I've had to track them like deer through the woods before. You've had to look for broken twigs and leaves and everything. I think he's went this way. This is the trail that he's on. Now, it sounds good and it makes good preaching to get up here and say, whoa, let's find the trail that Jesus is on. I want to be honest with you this morning. I don't want to find the trail that Jesus is on. I want to find Jesus. I want to get to where he is. You see, I wasn't interested in the trail running through the woods and broken leaves and everything else. I wanted to find that one that I was after. I wanted to get to that one. And he said, hey, listen to me, guys. He said, if you'll get in close, he said, you won't have to worry about a path. He said, all you got to worry about is the person. He said, you can now concentrate on the person. They looked at Jesus and they said, we want to know where you're staying. Because when we get to where you are, we'll get to learn you, we'll get to love you, we'll get to fellowship with you. And the DT instructor said this, and I about come unglued. I was already fighting back tears because I was listening to what he was saying, but I was relating it to God's word. He said, hey, he said, when you begin to get this close, he said, you don't have to worry about where they take off running to. He said, all they got to do is start to lean. He said, they'll start to lean one way or the other, and you can feel them lean. And you can say, oh, you're not going that way. Oh, you're not going that way. I can feel you leaning. And I got to thinking about how many times, and even in my marriage and in my home and in my children, have I had to say, children, we're going to try to look for the trail that Jesus is on, when God would prick my heart and say, why don't you get to where I'm at? Why don't you just get in close to me? Why don't you start closing the gap, and then you can start telling them about me? Because now all I got to do is feel him lean. All I got to do is feel him lean this way. Say, family, we're going this way. Why are we going that way, Daddy? Because that's the way God's leaning, and that's the way we're going to go. We're going to walk with him, because the Bible says here in this text, he said, come and see. You want to know where I'm at? Come and see. And I love the very next phrase. They came and saw. They did what he asked them to do. He said, here you go. He said, you want me? He said, this is where I'm going. He didn't say, go and see. He didn't say, go up there to the turn, take a right, first mailbox on the left. He said, I'll be there in just a few minutes. He said, come on. He said, if you want to be with me, if you want to learn about me and know everything there is, he said, all you got to do is come. All you got to do is start following me. All you got to do is get on my trail. And he began to lean, and they began to lean with him. Boy, I can't tell you how many cross eyes I got when I retired from the highway patrol. I walked in and told my sergeant, Sarge, I'm done. Why are you done? I said, God's called me to preach, and I'm being called to pastor. Do what? I said, God's called me to a church, and I'm going to go pastor. That's what you're going to do. You realize what you're giving up. And I said, no, sir. I said, you don't realize what I'm giving up by not going. I said, I got to go do what he's asked me to do. You say, why is that? Because I felt him lean. I felt him begin to lean that way. And I said, God, that's where I want to go. Lord, that's the way I want to go. God, if that's what you want to do, God, that's where I want to be. He said, come and see. They came and saw. And this, and I'm done. They said this at the very end. And this is where I came unglued in Raleigh in front of the DT instructors and everything. He said, if you'll get in real close and tight, he said, you'll get all that observation, and you'll get that communication. He said, you'll even get that navigation, which way they're going. He said, but I can't let you leave here without warning you. He said, I've got to warn you. He said, because when you get in this close, here, hold me. He said, when you get in this close, he said, be ready. He can't, because the one that you're grabbing and holding on to, he said, he's probably going to want to turn around and get close with you. I said, sir, could you repeat that one more time? He said, did you not hear it? I said, oh, I heard it. I just want to hear it again. I said, you mean if I get in close, this one right here is going to want to get in close with me? And this is really where the parallel breaks down. Because this one, in the instance that he's talking about, this man wants to spin around and hurt me. This man that I'm trying to control wants to spin around and hurt me. But here in the text, the Bible says they went and abode with him. Boy, you want to talk about fellowship, because James 4:8 tells us, draw nigh to God, and he might draw nigh to you. Ain't that what it says? Is that not, where did I miss it? Draw nigh to God, and there's a really good chance that he'll draw nigh to you. That's what it says. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. He's saying, if you'll close the gap, if you'll get in here, this one right here is going to want to spin around. And the one that I'm trying to control on the road, I'm wanting to get controlled by this one now. He's going to spin around and say, boy, he's going to spin around and say, I love you. I'm so glad that you're following me. I'm so glad you're on my trail. I'm so glad that you chose to close the gap. I'm thankful today that I can present to you this morning. We need some mamas and some daddies. We need some husbands and some wives, some sons and some daughters that'll say in their heart, Lord, would you please help me close the gap? Because I want to tell you, when you begin to close the gap and begin trying not to worship him from a distance, but say, I'm going to crawl up in his lap. I want to know where you abode. I want to get where you are. When you begin to get in that realm, business will pick up. Boy, I'm thankful today. Thank you, preacher, for letting me preach. Close the gap this morning.